this morning hoping not to be thinking about your burdens, but I want you to get those burdens out on the table this morning. It's an important thing for our topic together, okay? We need to get those burdens out. We're going to talk about those this morning. They're different for all of us, but we all have them. You know, and because we have burdens, sometimes it makes it even more difficult to share the burdens of the people that this text this morning tells us to help. And so God has called us to bear some burdens. And so this morning we want to ask, well, whose burden does God want me to carry, and how do I do that? I'm going to talk about that this morning, but let's go to the Lord first in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that you've given to us to open your word and see what it says to us on some very practical areas and some areas, Father, that I know all of us can relate to personally, and maybe even we know some friends or people in our lives that this passage will be very applicable for. So, Lord, I pray you'll prepare our hearts to receive this message. I pray, Father, you'll prepare me to say the things you want me to say. We just commit this morning to you and pray you'll be glorified and help us be godly burden bearers and to do it in a godly way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are two questions we want to answer today. Two questions. The one is not going to take us very long to answer. The other one will take a little more time. But here's the first question. Whose burden are we to bear anyway? Whose burden are we to bear? I'm going to suggest the text shows us a couple of different burdens that we are called to bear. One we see in verse 1, and that is one who is caught in any trespass. Look with me at verse 1. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass. Let's stop right there. Paul is speaking to those who are Christians in Galatia. And it's anyone, or it could be man, could be the phrase, or any man who's caught, that has the idea of being surprised or overtaken by a trespass. That is a fault, a sin, a fall. Okay? There's some type of a side slip here. It's not speaking about someone who's living habitually in a sinful lifestyle, but it seems to indicate a believer who's fallen into some type of error or sin. What would be some examples for us? Well, maybe you know a Christian friend who was charged with a DUI. Or maybe you know of a young person who was suspended from school for some reason. Maybe you know of a couple who had an affair. One person in the marriage had an affair. Maybe you're familiar with, or maybe you've been the person where you've had your temper just flare up and get angry and you end up saying something that you regret. Sorry that you said. Or maybe you know of someone, or maybe you've been this person who was fired at work because maybe you were dishonest, or maybe you didn't follow the company policy like you were supposed to, and so you were let go. These are all types of trespasses that maybe we can relate to. Maybe it's happened in our life. Maybe we have a friend who's experienced these things. But we're called upon to help restore such a person. It goes on in verse 2, bear one another's burdens. It's talking about this very person who's been caught in a trespass. So that's the first type of burden is we're to help carry, is those who've been caught in some type of a trespass. But what's the second type of burden we're called to bear? Well, our own burden. Look at verse 5 with me at verse 5 in Galatians 6. It says, for each one will bear his own load. Listen, all of us have loads that we're to bear. It's interesting that word bear there. In fact, when we're to help bear the burden of another or bear our own, the same word bear is used for each one. It means to lift or to carry, to take up something. That's what we're called to do. But it's interesting, the types of burdens that are talked about in verse 2 and verse 5 are slightly different. They're quite different, actually. Verse 2 comes with the Greek word baros, which means it's a weight or a load. It's heavy. You know, sin has that effect. It can be quite heavy for us. The second type of burden that we see in verse 5 is that of, it comes from the Greek word, which means it's a cargo. It's part of something that we carry. Someone says it's like a backpack. That's the idea. Not quite as heavy as a huge, massive load, but, you know, we all have backpack of burden or care that we're called to carry around. And so our own burdens that we have, what are some types of burdens that you might be bringing this morning? Well, I just share with you from my own life, okay? See if you can relate to some of these. Your burdens might be different. But I have a physical burden in my life. It's called my left knee. I injured it in a high school football accident. Because of that, I have a hard time like running or pivoting. If I do, it'll give on me. It's very painful. So because of that, it sort of restricts what I can do in my physical activity. I have a physical burden of my left knee. Well, you may have your own physical burden yourself. There's another type of burden that we carry. We might carry some type of emotional burden. For instance, it's quite possible that before you came to the service this morning, that maybe you had, if you're married, you had a disagreement with your spouse. And you're still thinking through some of the things that were said. How could they say that? And it really just makes me mad about that, you know? And you have to carry those emotional burdens. I mean, somebody else here can't really carry your emotional burden in that way, right? There are burdens that we have in our own lives, even emotionally, that we may have to carry. Another type of burden we may have is a financial burden. Have you ever noticed with your budget that once you spend so much money of what you may have coming in monthly that you can't spend that for something else? It's gone, right? And so it restricts or it makes a difference in what you can buy the rest of the month. Well, we may have financial burdens. We're not unlimited, and we have our limitations, and because of that, it can bring stress to our life. And you know, we can share that with other people, but others may not necessarily bear that burden. So we have financial burdens. And then, you know, we even have ministry burdens. You know, there are things that you do in ministry that you can do with other people, but there's some things that, you know what, you can only really do by yourself. For instance, those of you who teach, how many of you find that when you are maybe preparing for your Sunday lesson, you still have some things you're working on Saturday night, maybe while others in the household are watching a movie or something, you find yourself behind a desk, taking care of those final details. Your family's not joining in there saying, hey, let me help you out with this lesson, right? And really, there's a lot that you have to do individually with it. But there's going to be financial or ministry burdens that we have as well. But then even more seriously, there's the burden of sin. There's the burden of sin. Maybe there are sins that you have in your life that were maybe committed years ago. You know they're forgiven. You've committed them to Christ. You still remember them. You still regret them. Maybe even in the cases of some sins, you're still bearing the consequences of whatever that sin was. So that's a burden that we certainly can carry. There's also a final burden I want to mention, and that is the burden of judgment. The Scripture tells us that we all face a time when individually we will stand before God and give an account of our life to Him. Whether believers or unbelievers, that time is coming. And that's a burden that only we can carry. We can't bring somebody else in to answer for us. It's between us and the Lord. So we have our own burdens. We can't get away from them. So we've talked this morning, whose burdens do we bear? Well, we help bear those who've been caught in a trespass. And we also are to bear our own burdens. We can't get out of that one. We all have those. But the question now that we want to consider, and we'll spend most of our time this morning talking about, is how do we bear these burdens? How do we go about dealing with them? I mean, these can be tough things. Well, let's talk first of all about one who's caught in a trespass. One who's caught in a trespass. We find out in verse 1, going back to Galatians chapter 6, brethren, if any of you is caught in a trespass, here we go, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. The two aspects I just want to just briefly mention. But first of all, you who are spiritual, it's the same word where we might get regenerate from. Okay, certainly talking to those who are believers. And what's more, if we go back to Galatians 5, 22 to 23, which Nate talked about last time, he mentioned the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are things that are important in a spiritual life where God's Spirit is in us and we're allowing Him to work through us. These are evidences of His indwelling power. And we're those of us who are spiritual, who are regenerate, yes, and who have His Spirit working in us, we're told are to restore such a one. What does restore mean? It means to mend. It means to repair. It could have been used to set like a broken bone or to put in place a dislocated joint. That's what those who are spiritual are to do. That's what we're called to do. You know, so often in the body of Christ, it can be easy if we see someone who's fallen in some type of transgression to do one of two things. One is to just say, oh, I didn't see it. Don't want to deal with it, right? That's one possible way to deal with it. The other way, though, is just hammer them. Boom! You know, that's another response. But when we look at the fruit of the Spirit that was given in Galatians 5, And we see what's going to be said here in the ahead. That's not how we're to approach it. There's a balance in there. When I think of someone who really came along, someone who was caught in a trespass and really helped restore the person, I think about Barnabas. Remember the account of John Mark when he was with Paul and Barnabas on a missionary trip and he deserted them, if you will. He left them in the middle of the trip. And so that when it came to go again, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark again and Paul was saying no. And they had such a disagreement that they parted company. But Barnabas stuck with John Mark. He was one who was spiritually, he sought to restore him, to mend that man. Yeah, he was broken. Yes, he left him in the middle of that missions trip. And sure, Paul felt quite deserted by that. But that mature man, Barnabas, came along. What an example of one who was spiritually mature, restoring that young man to the point where Paul at one point said, send John Mark to me. He's useful to me. Thank God for Barnabas and his ministry in that man's life. But he goes on to say, those of you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. In a spirit of gentleness. The word gentleness is the idea is comes from meekness, which has the idea of strength under control. A great illustration of that is a bridle horse. A horse can be very powerful. We know that. There's no man can match a horse's strength. But with a bridle on, the horse is trained, it's under control. And that's how those who are spiritual need to approach this thing with gentleness, with meekness. You might be a strong personality or a strong person. You need to come into the situation under control. That's the idea here. I think so much of how Jesus dealt with Peter. You know, three times Peter denied Christ. And then after his resurrection, Jesus provided breakfast for the disciples. And he pulled Peter aside and he said, do you love me? Remember that account where on the beach he asked him three times, do you love me, Peter? He said, yes. He allowed Peter to affirm his love for him the number of times that he betrayed him. What a loving way to do it. He could have hammered him. We could have had some great lecture. But instead, Jesus lovingly and with gentleness restores that man, Peter. And we know how God greatly used him. What a great example. Also read this past week of it, quite an example of a preacher in the South who was saved when he was a sinner. He was saved from just being a drunkard. God saved him and radically changed him. And he eventually, over the course of time, became a pastor at a church. And his church was growing and things were going well, but the pressures began building up and he began to feel it. And one night, he succumbed to the temptation to start drinking and he got drunk that night. And he felt terrible. And the next day, he called the deacons, who were the leaders of this church, together. And he began to say, well, men, I'm going to turn in my resignation. They said, why? And he explained to them what happened. You know, those guys had an opportunity. They could have cut him loose, or they with his repentant spirit, they could have dealt with him differently. And what they decided to do was they wouldn't let him quit. They recognized the sinfulness of it. They said, yes, this can't continue. But they say, we want you to continue to serve the Lord because we can see the Lord's hand upon you in your work here. And he preached the next Sunday, and a man who was there who didn't know about the other said, you know, that message has affected me like probably no message I've heard before. And that man went on to have quite a ministry. The Lord used him greatly. But you know, that leadership group, they could have cut him loose. They decided instead they were going to see him through it. And that was the way that they showed gentleness with that man. Well, with the spirit of spiritual maturity, with the spirit of gentleness, but thirdly, with an honest view of our life. In verse 1, Paul says, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. We need to scope out our life. We need to be honest with ourselves about who we are. We need to ask ourselves the question honestly, what sins am I capable of committing? You know, and if we're honest, we have to admit we are capable of sinning greatly before the Lord. There's none of us who's exempt from temptation and sin. I think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:12, where he says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Right? We need to be careful. If we think we're standing tall, beware, because that's the time we're ripe for failure. 1 Timothy 1:15, even at the end of his life, Paul says this to Timothy. He identified himself, I am foremost of all sinners. Paul recognized before Christ, and he recognized his ability to sin greatly against God. We need to be honest enough to recognize that could be true of our life as well. He goes on to say, bearing one another's burdens. In verse 2, that's fulfilling the law of Christ. We need to bear one another's burdens. Again, talking about this one who's been caught in a trespass. We need to do that, bear their burdens, that is lifting them up and helping them through it. that's fulfilling the law of Christ. Well, what is it not? Let's talk about what it's not. In Matthew 23:4, Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and he says this about them. You're the type of people who you tie up these big loads, you put them on people's shoulders, and you want them to carry it, and yet you're not willing to touch it. That's not the kind of attitude that is the law of Christ. What he's talking about is that's love. Look with me, if you would, at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. It says this, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Hey, listen, the Pharisees and scribes that Jesus was talking to in that Matthew passage, they wanted people not only to keep the law of Moses, which is impossible, but also they added their own stuff on there, and yet they weren't willing to carry it themselves. Jesus is saying, as we love our neighbors, we love this one who's been caught in a trespass, we're demonstrating love to them, that is fulfilling the law of Christ. That's what he wants from us, is to love those, and even those who've blown it. That's our charge. That's our call. Finally, we're to do it with humility. It says in verse 3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who are you? Who are you? Now, don't tell me your last name, okay? For a lot of you, I know who that is, okay? Don't tell me what position you hold in the company where you work, okay? Don't tell me the good things you've done for the Lord in the last month, okay? I want to talk about something that every single one of us, I mean, every single one of us in this room has in common. You might look across this room and say, well, I'm quite different from all these people. And in some ways, that's true. But there's one thing that we share, all of us share. And here it is. We are all sinners. That's the first part. We are all sinners. Here's the second part, deserving of eternal punishment. So the Bible says, we are all sinners deserving of eternal punishment. You reduce us all to the pre-grace conversion that Christ brings to our life, and that's where we all are. And anything that God may allow us to become as a Christian is because of the grace of God. The grace that saved us is the grace that grows us. So we have nothing to brag about. We need to have that humility. If there's anything that God has done in our life, it's because of the great redemptive work of our Lord. So we should have humility when we deal with these situations. Now, let's apply this. It's pretty simple, really. We need to bear the burdens of those who've been caught in a trespass, come alongside someone who has sinned, and we want to try to come alongside and bear their burden. That's the specific application in this particular context, is bearing the burden of one who's blown it. But in doing it may seem simple, but it seems so hard. I want to put out there some objections that you may be thinking about yourself when it comes to this issue. It says, it's a great sermon topic, but for me, I don't think so, and I've got some good reasons. See if some of these reasons sound like some that you may give. Well, let's think about this, how God views it. First of all, you may say, well, again, it says, for those who are spiritual, therefore, I am disqualified because I don't consider myself a spiritual person. Let me ask you this. Are you regenerate? Have you been born again? And if you have, are you seeking to allow God's Spirit to work through you so the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life? Listen, if those are true, if you're regenerate, if you've been born again, and if you're walking with the Spirit, and it doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're seeking to follow Him and to be obedient to Him and allow those things to come through our life, then my friend, you're qualified. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be an elder. God can use you and will use you if you'll allow yourself to be. You may say, well, Dan, if I do this, won't it be inconvenient? Like, I mean, it sounds like it could take some time. But guess what? Right. You may have to change the plans for your day. You know what? It may even be you have to change the plans for your week to do this. So yes, it can be inconvenient. Thirdly, you say, well, Dan, is there going to be like cost to this? I mean, couldn't it be costly? Well, yeah, it could. I mean, when you're working with this person, you may find out that there's some financial implications to this. For instance, I put out an example there. It may be that you're working with a couple, that you're encouraging them. They've moved in with each other, and you know that that's not right. You're trying to encourage them to be godly and to live separately until they're married. But if you do that, you know there's some financial implications for that. I would suggest, by the way, that happens more than you might realize. And maybe that the answer to that, as we offer someone the biblical and the godly of counsel, you shouldn't be living together, you should stay separate until you're married, It may be that one of the things you're thinking is, how am I going to afford to do this? And it may be our opportunity to step up and say, I've got a spare bedroom. Why don't you come stay with me until you get married? Will that cost? Yeah, it could. But sometimes it's bearing one another's load. It has a financial implication to it. It could have that type of meaning. So, again, yes, it could cost us something. You might say, well, Dan, I got a real problem with what you're saying because, I mean, if I help someone who's blown it like this, I'm going to be like embarrassed to be around them, you know? I mean, I don't know if I want to associate with someone who's blown it like that. Let me ask you a question. What does God think about your sin? Is he enamored with it? Does he like it? Is he proud of your sin? And no one's going to say yes. Well, listen, Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth or showed his love toward us in the world. While we were yet saints, he died for us." Is that what it says? While we were yet sinners, he died for us. He endured the shame for our sake. Praise God. And so if we get into this thing, well, I don't want to be embarrassed about being around them because that'll just make me look bad. What if Jesus had thought that way? We'd have no hope of heaven. So may we never use that as a reason for why we don't get involved with someone who's sinned. May we come along and help bear their burdens. You might say, well, Dan, another reason why I don't know if I want to get involved is, you know, people are kind of, they have a certain level of pride. You know, if I come up and try to help someone who's sinned, you know, they might be kind of offended by it. Let me give you a picture here that maybe will help us understand this a little bit. Imagine a woman coming into a bus. She's got a very heavy weight in her hand, and she gets in a crowded city bus. She's seeking to go from one place to the other, and the bus might be like a bunch of us Christians who are together, and we're all in the bus, all crowded together, and the woman continues to hold that burden as the bus is driving who knows where down the city. We have the perfect opportunity to say, ma'am, why don't you just put that burden down? I'll move out a little bit here. You can set it down while we're on the road. But to continue to watch her hold that while we're thinking, well, I don't want to offend her by offering a place to help her put that load. You know, it doesn't carry much weight when we think about someone who actually has a physical load. But I tell you what, people I've talked to who found themselves in a situation where they're dealing with some sin they've committed, my experience is that if they're truly born again, they want some help. They would welcome it. So let's never let that be a reason why we wouldn't help someone like that. And finally, final objection, you might say, well, Dan, what would I say? I agree there's some ways that you don't want to deal with it, such as, you know, you really blew it. We need to help you get back on track here. You know, just be honest with you, that probably won't go over too well. Okay? So we do need to approach it very carefully. But I suggest this as a possible. Okay, if you come up with one, and you could come up with probably many, many better than this. But so I've been thinking and praying about this week, what would I say to someone in this book? I would go to that person and say something like, is there any way I can help you through this time? Is there any way I can help you through this time? They've fallen. They know it. You know it. You don't have to remind them of what's happened, especially if it's a public thing or they may be aware you're aware of it. Is there anything that can help you through this time? If the Holy Spirit is within them, it has convicted them of that sin. They're probably dealing with guilt over it. But allow them. They may say, man, you need to pray for me. I'm having a hard time dealing with this. Then you open it up for them to share with you ways that you can come along and help encourage them spiritually. It may even be they know what an answer is to the problem. They just need someone to help encourage them through that process. So what do I say? Well, prayerfully approach it. But there are ways we can say it that don't just pound them. So that's of one who's caught with a trespass. But let's, for the final few moments of our time together this morning, talk about our own burdens. I said this morning earlier, and I want you to get those burdens out there. Okay, let's get those back out there. We've been talking about somebody else's burden. Let's talk about yours for a few moments. You've got them. We all have them. Don't pretend you don't. Don't cover it up. Don't ignore them because, as we know, problems don't go away, right? They're there. So how do we deal with them? I want to suggest three things. Look at verse 4 with me. It says this, "But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another." The first thing we need to do really is to do a self-exam. I mean, I want to ask you this. How is your life today, really? I mean, you've brought what you have. We all look pretty good this morning. Things look like they're going pretty well. But I want to ask you about some different areas of your life. And I want you to be honest with yourself and with the Lord. How's it going in your own personal walk with the Lord? When was the last time you had some time with Him where you could spend some time in the Word and some time in prayer? Listen, I know there are times Christians struggle and there can be days where someone can go and not really have that fellowship with the Lord. Are you there? Or are you regularly having time with Him? My friend, be honest about that area of our life. It's a burden if we're starting to walk it without Him. Secondly, your family relationships. Hey, listen, how are you getting along if you're married with your spouse? Are you treating each other with the love and the respect that Scripture talks about? Or have we allowed ourselves to get a little bit lazy in that relationship? Is there tension there because of it? Or what about our children? Parents, are we raising our kids up not to exasperate them, but to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? And young people out there, are you obeying your parents? Are you honoring them as Scripture calls us to? Listen, that might be an area we need to be dealing with the Lord on, because it can be a burden if we're not in the right place there. Or what about your workplace? Maybe you're, you know, being half-hearted about it. I'm putting in the time. Just another day, another dollar. No, you serve the Lord. You serve the risen God. You serve Him ultimately. Maybe things are rough at work because we're really not giving ourselves to that. So therefore, we can't honor God. May our workplace be what the Lord wants it to be. Or what about our church family? Last week, Nate encouraged us in serving each other in the body of Christ. Do you have a ministry for your church family? Are you serving this body? No, the body of Christ is enriched and strengthened as His people step up and willingly serve in ways that God has given them the ability to serve. It's a beautiful thing. It's a thing that's it's called upon us in Scripture, actually. Are we serving our church family? And then the world. There are people out there who are lost. It may be our neighbor, maybe our extended family, maybe a person at work or school or wherever. Are we diligently seeking to reach them for Christ? You see, all these relationships or things or areas of our life are areas that we need to be honest about. What's our work like in those areas for the Lord? What is it like? Are we honest? Are we willing to deal with those things? So that's the first thing, is self-examination. Secondly, we need to do it with accountability in mind. Listen, in Revelation 20, 12 through 15, we're told about the great white throne judgment will be for those who are not believers. And those who don't know Christ will be sent to the lake of fire. There's ultimate accountability with God. And for those of us who are believers, you might say, well, I don't have to worry about that. But there is the judgment seat of Christ, which is talked about in 2 Corinthians 5, 10 through 11, where all of us will go and we'll give an account of what we've done and been before the Lord. Not according to the law, but according to what Christ has given us to the law of Christ. How have we served Him? How have we loved God? How have we loved people? How's our time been spent? How's our resources been spent? What have our priorities been? We need to live with accountability in mind. We each have a load to bear. Finally, we need to deal with this with a relationship to Jesus Christ. I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 55 and verse 22. Psalm chapter 55 and verse 22. It's on page 416 of the Old Testament, if you're using the Bibles there in the racks. As you're turning there, you may be saying, Dan, you've been talking about burdens all day, all morning long, and I am like burdened down. I'm like so heavy right now. What else are you going to put on us here? Well, here are some great things I want to offer you to you this morning. Not me, but the Word of God. Look with me, if you would, at Psalm 55 and verse 22. Wonderful verse. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Isn't that a great promise from the Old Testament Scriptures? To cast those burdens upon the Lord. Here's the great thing. It doesn't matter if we're talking about the burdens that we're bearing for someone else or our own burdens. We're called upon to cast those on the Lord. And what will He do? He will sustain us. He'll take us through it. It doesn't say that they'll necessarily all be taken away, but He'll sustain us through it. Another beautiful passage, and that's the final one we're going to look at this morning, is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. A New Testament passage that speaks to the same thing. And we see our Lord Jesus giving us great encouragement to us today. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Again, it's on page 10 of the New Testament, using those Bibles in the racks. Here we go. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And unlike any other person who can say something like this, the thing that separates Jesus from everyone else is that when he says this, he's including our very sin and judgment as well. We can bring that to him and lay it before him. What a great burden he offers to relieve. I don't know about you, but that brings me great hope. Of all the burdens out there, we can bring them to the Lord Jesus. It's that relationship with us that he desires, and it's through that relationship that we have freedom from those burdens. We come to him as our Savior and Lord. We as a Christian, we come to him with the burdens that we're dealing with, and he can help us deal with them. But again, the greatest burden that we bear is that of sin and judgment if it's not been dealt with before God. All these other problems that we have in life, the finances, the relational stuff, I mean, it's all important, but we need to make sure that we're in a right place with our Lord God. Well, you know, people try to do everything to deaden the pain of sin and burden. Some people get involved with politics, and if we can straighten out the world, you know, the world politics will be in good shape. Listen, not going to happen. Someone say, "Well, let me just listen to my music and I can forget it all." You know what? It doesn't do any good. Ultimately, you have to deal with it. Someone tries to drown it in drugs or alcohol, it's not going to resolve the situation. We know so many times it just makes it so much worse. Some people involve themselves in athletics. I just got to get in a different goal and get myself really oriented here. And you know what? You still face the Lord. But we can go into so many things. Social media, work, pornography, you name it. All kinds of things to get out of the pain that we feel from the burdens that we carry. But it's what we need to understand is this. We need to bring our burdens and those that we care for other people to the Lord, because he alone helps us deal with this. It's a wonderful account in Isaiah 37. It tells about King Hezekiah, who was king of Judah. And he had a large Assyrian army amassing outside of his kingdom. And they basically send him a letter saying, "You're doomed." I'm paraphrasing greatly here. But he took that letter and he spread it out before God and he called upon him because he was carrying his burden. I mean, his life was at stake here and his whole nation was. And we're told about 20 verses later in the chapter that an angel of the Lord came out and struck 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And that crisis at that point was averted because Hezekiah took that burden to the Lord. What burdens are you carrying this morning? For yourself, for others? Listen, bring them to the Lord. He and he alone is the one who can take those burdens and make them light. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that you've given to us to open your word and to see how powerful you are. We can bring those loads to you. And for that, we are so, so grateful. Lord, may we bring our burdens to you, realizing that you alone can give us the relief. May we seek to carry the burdens of others to the extent that we can. Again, coming to you, realizing that it's your strength that we need in order to do these things. May we be godly people. May we truly bear one another's burdens. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.